We've seen success stories beyond our wildest dreams. Over 20 millionaires made in profit from our wagering advice and teachings. And yeah, hundreds that have seen 5- and 6-figure success.
Hey, this is Jesse here. And you're about to hear my discussion with Andrew Pace from InPlay Live, which is the number one in-play sports investing platform. In this one, Andrew explains how InPlay Live uses e-learning frameworks to educate people on sports betting strategies, the viability of betting on sports for profit given the aggressive account limiting practices of many US operators, and some of the unique business challenges he's faced in working with some of the offshore sports books. I had a great time chatting with Andrew, and I hope you enjoyed this one as much as I did. The Betting Startups podcast is presented by Optimove, the number one CRM marketing solution for the iGaming industry. 4 out of the top 5 US operators personalize player experiences with Optimove, the number one CRM marketing solution for the iGaming industry. If you're attending SBC Summit North America, make sure to visit the Optimove stand at the event in New Jersey from May 7th to 9th. All right, we are back here and rolling with episode 111 of the Betting Startups podcast. And for this one, I am joined by Andrew Pace, which I will just call you Pace from here on out, from InPlay Live. And first and foremost, Pace, the important thing we need to talk about above all else is the Vancouver Canucks playoff chances. You are based in downtown Vancouver. I'm over on Vancouver Island, so I don't get the opportunity all that often on this pod to talk hockey. So let's take a few minutes up front here and give me your, analysis of what we can expect going into the playoffs here.
Oh God, everything we do with hockey is so much not based on any one specific team or even player or coach or what's going on. It's just so much data back related stuff. But as a Vancouverite, I guess it's our time to make a run again. And a lot of people are being negative right now about the Canucks because, you know, we've been 500 in the last month or whatever the case may be. And I look at it and I go, hey, we're going to the playoffs. It's been a while. So I'm excited for the playoffs. I think the energy of the city or any city as you enter this sort of time, you know, any sport, everyone's kind of banding together to get excited for the series and see how far you can go and make a run. And I think one thing in Vancouver, obviously you rewind the tape, you think about the Vancouver Grizzlies, obviously failing here in the city. Vancouver has done a horrendously poor job of doing special things for sporting events. It sounds like this year they're going to have viewing parties outside the arena and really try to actually do some things that stolen from other leagues and teams that could be a real benefit to the city and something to be excited about. So I don't think that we have what it takes this season, but I'd be naive to say that, you know, teams can't kind of find their mojo and get it going. So I'm hopeful.
Well, it should be a hell of a run anyways and a lot of fun. And I guess to your point about viewing parties, I mean, Vancouver probably temporarily lost its viewing party privileges after the, I guess it was 2011. I don't know for people listening that are aware, but we had a pretty good riot in Vancouver after the Canucks lost to the Bruins. So don't know if we're allowed to try this again and take another run at behaving, but we'll see.
That's a really good point. Yeah, we lit our city on fire, so it wasn't the best look for the city of Vancouver.
Well, we'll leave that there. But look, we're here to talk about yourself and InPlay Live. I'm very intrigued by what you guys are working on across a number of dimensions. So we'll unpack it all in a few minutes here. I quite like your tagline, by the way, up front here. I think you guys have a mission to what you call purify sports betting, which is quite a compelling tagline. And again, we'll unpack all that. But let's just start at the beginning here, Pace. For people listening that aren't familiar with you guys, maybe you can just start with a quick introduction. Talk a little bit about who you are, your background, particularly on the betting side, and sort of everything you've done in your journey up until starting InPlay Live.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have a similar story to me from a betting standpoint. You know, the early 2000s or mid 2000s, the poker boom, poker craze kind of took over. And I was really, really into that stuff. At the time, I was actually going to Simon Fraser University, which, Jesse, I'm sure you're familiar with being from the area. And, you know, I was working at a golf course and, you know, money was a little short throughout the off season or throughout the winter. And I just kind of dove into poker and all of its literature that I possibly could. I was reading books. I was watching courses. I was building spreadsheets. I had this little spreadsheet calculator that would calculate the pot odds for me. And I'd type in a few metrics based on the hand I was currently playing. And it would tell me whether to call, raise, or fold. And I did really well. I definitely didn't enter into these, you know, multi-million dollar levels of profits by any capacity, but I was able to, you know, pay my bills and pay for all my tuition from playing poker. But what I kind of found out after I kind of moved on from poker, which I really didn't play for that long, was I didn't love the game. What I loved was this concept of putting money into some sort of investment vehicle, for lack of a better term, and seeing it pop out the other side, hopefully with a higher amount than what you initially put into it. And that kind of led me actually to a career in sort of like a personal finance type role. I was helping families, individuals, businesses with various investment solutions. And it had its moments for sure. But then my eyes kind of started turning towards sports. And I'll never forget making my first parlay and threw $50 on the Saints and the Niners. And I actually couldn't believe that it paid out like close to $200 that I received back, because I was so used to buying pots in poker where you'd have to put out a large sum of money to bully people out of hands sometimes. And oftentimes you were doing that in hopes of just getting a lot of your money that was already in the pot back. That wasn't always the case with poker, of course, but I remember just being like, I won this much off this little. And I think that was the moment of, you could call that the moment of danger in the world of sports betting. But that was the moment that I was like, holy smokes, I'm going to switch gears and start looking at the sports betting landscape. And being in the sort of investment field and learning about, you know, some of Benjamin Graham's concepts, value investing, things like that, I really did start to look at sports and go, is there a way to win money doing this? And is there a way to do it long term and do it sustainably? And there's a lot of losing in this process, a lot of parlays, a lot of negative expected value wagers. And eventually there was this one day where I had a real breakthrough. I was actually in the pool with my business partner, Mark Rogeman, now business partner. He wasn't at the time. I was actually wagering on a college football game on the September long weekend. So it's like the opening week of college football. And I was just sitting there on Bet365. And for lack of a better term, I found something that was exploitable. And that day, I happened to have won a bunch of money, just again, poolside, not watching the game, not at some elaborate betting setup. And it's interesting the way that all worked, because that changed my mindset forever. It really did. It put me into that arena without the intent of a hope and a prayer. It put me into it in a real mindset of, I'm here to win and I'm here to make money. And from that point forward, I still worked my job, but I transitioned out of it over the course of time. And what I found was I was making more and more money each year that I was wagering on specifically on college football. And a lot of that money that I had made, I kind of viewed as gambling money, for lack of a better term. So, you know, I'd buy frivolous items and go on trips and really have nothing to show for it at the end of the year. So I kind of hit a point where I was like, I really have to see if I can do this as an actual sort of profession, for lack of a better term. And I started with a $2,000 bankroll that season. I potentially could have started with more, but I wanted to start with a number that I felt like could be replicated by a lot of other people. And I had a near $200,000 5 months of success that season. And that's when I realized, like, okay, this is real. What I'm doing is working, and it had expanded far beyond, you know, any one specific sport or strategy. And my now business partner, again, him and I were in Whistler, and he was kind of catching me up on some of the things that he was working on and some visions that he had for his business that he was running at the time. And he was very much getting involved in this e-learning space and really kind of transitioning towards this model of, you know, putting stuff out, content out that many people can view, learn from, and grow businesses with themselves. And this was pre-COVID. And I think the e-learning space kind of really took off once people realized that their life revolved around basically the four walls around them and nothing else. So interestingly enough, when he was telling me about the e-learning space, it just kind of clicked right away. We were like, you know what? I've had a real run of success of sports betting. I actually genuinely believe that people could learn from some of the things that I've profited from, some of the philosophies, some of the strategies. Let's launch an e-learning course on successful sports betting in hopes to give people the education tools and resources to lose less, gain a little bit more knowledge about how some of these sports books operate, and hopefully maybe even have the opportunity to win some money. So we launched InPlay Live, more or less like kind of a side thing. Like, you know, he had a business that he was really successful with, and he actually won a 30 under 30 award here in Vancouver. And yeah, he doesn't half-ass anything. So it was one of these things where I was, you know, super into it, and I'm shooting a masterclass and putting my stuff down. And meanwhile, on the sides, he was just really putting in a lot of work to what ended up becoming, in my opinion, one of the best and most sophisticated sports betting communities on the planet. So we launched this masterclass in August of 2020. And if you guys rewind the tape, that was the time where sports were coming back in a COVID bubble. So we had NHL and NBA players quite literally in captivity. They were away from their families. There was no fans. They were trying to simulate the sounds of fans in the buildings and putting up these weird screens of people live streaming, watching the games. And what was really interesting for me during that time was, as a successful sports bettor, I was thrown in a situation where sports were not the same. And some of the things that you were doing and the data that you may have been operating off of, you could argue was almost irrelevant, because the way people play in front of fans is different than not. And the noise impact in, say, the NFL or college football and any sport for that matter being taken out of the equation produced different results in those particular seasons. But anyways, we launched this masterclass and essentially just this e-learning product, more or less an online book. I think 5 or 6 people bought our product. And what was interesting about that step forward was those 5 or 6 people helped mold what InPlay Live has become today. Because based on the teachings of our course, we had a private Facebook group for the people that had purchased. So there was, you know, maybe 10 of us in there at the time. Myself, again, my business partner, the 5 or 6 people that had joined, and I think a couple of my friends or family members to try to make us look a little bit more legitimate. And someone said, like, hey, based on the teachings of the course, would you be looking at the Montreal Canadiens in this spot right now? And I responded, absolutely. That wager happened to win. And I put a little green pistol emoji underneath on the Facebook thread. And then a couple people happened to take the wager as well because they saw the post. And then they put green pistols under there. And from that point forward, we really morphed into a community that was no longer an e-learning platform. We very much became, I don't want to say like live picks in any capacity, but we very much became a community of people devoted to beating the books together. And as a result of that, we wagered together in real time. And that's where we totally changed our business. And we did it very, very quickly. It was a matter of like a week or two where we switched to a subscription-based service to wager with us in real time, get our masterclass, get access to our community. And while the masterclass is extremely important in what we originally launched on, it equates probably for, I would say, 1 to 5% of the reason of why people actually stay with us today. So fast forward, you know, we've seen thousands of people come in through the doors of InPlay Live. We've seen success stories beyond our wildest dreams. Over 20 millionaires made in profit from our wagering advice and teachings. And yeah, hundreds that have seen 5- and 6-figure success.
One thing I want to touch upon right away here is just your guys' go-to-market strategy of launching this masterclass concept. You know, one thing I think about a lot in my own time, but also talk quite a bit about with other guests on this podcast, is the general betting population, right? You take that, you segment it out. There's a very small percentage of those people that actually want to invest the time and effort necessary to properly educate themselves and, you know, learn the strategies you're talking about and that, you know, you and your team are pitching and really take it upon themselves to become expert level bettors. You know, 90%+ of people probably just want to be spoon fed the answers, right? So interesting for me to hear a little bit about how you guys launched with the masterclass concept, but that's evolved over time. And now really it sounds like the thing is more the community that you've developed and a lot of the interactions that have come out of that as a result. And one thing I find quite intriguing and that I really respect about the approach you guys have taken is that you're not out there selling picks, right? Yes, maybe people talk about the picks within the community, but please correct me if I'm wrong here, but I don't see you guys out there like really hard selling picks. Whereas right now you talk about content within the sports betting space and, you know, you can't go a minute without seeing a TikTok account or an Instagram influencer or somebody out there with something to sell from a pick perspective and monetizing that way. You guys have really, I guess, stayed pure. And maybe that's a shout out back to your original tagline there, purifying sports betting. But I really do think you guys have taken a unique approach. I'm just curious if you can talk a little bit more about, I guess, the current state of InPlay Live. You talk about the robust community you guys have. You still have the masterclass content, but what are people, you know, coming to you guys for that they can't get elsewhere? And I guess really what my question is, like, how are you differentiated from the sea of content out there and the other Discord communities out there? Like, what makes you guys, I guess, unique and special in that regard?
Yeah, I think I probably touched on a few of those things in the previous response that I had there. But what's interesting is at the time that we were doing this, legalization, you know, started in New Jersey and had already happened a couple years prior, but, you know, legalization was kind of popping up across new states almost daily, it felt like at the time, but certainly monthly. And everyone has heard of this guy in the industry is Vegas Dave. He was kind of the ultimate scammer, you know, giving people multiple sides of a game and then claiming that he had won regardless of what had happened. referencing baseball systems that were just martingaling big favorites until you actually got a win and then claiming that it was a hugely profitable month or week or whatever the case may be. And then having some crazy record where you'd lump that martingaling into like a 20, I'm 26 and 2 on the season, but you don't realize those two losses are actually losing your entire bankroll. So we noticed a lot of trends in the industry that we really wanted to kind of buck. And the first would be, I kind of came into this with a bit of a purpose, and that's the way the sports books treated me as a winning player. It rubbed me the wrong way. We didn't have a level playing field. There's very few books like Pinnacle that will let winners continue to play on their site. So there was part of me that was like, I want to give people the tools to create an army to say, basically, screw you to the sports books for treating me this way. I'm going to create hundreds of me to come after you and show them how to win. So, you know, you did kind of touch on the whole, you know, tipsters and picks and that kind of thing. And 100%, that is not what we are. We definitely try to give people the fishing rod instead of selling them the fish themselves. But with that said, if you are someone that's like, hey, you know, I want to be spoon-fed picks, I personally don't think it's the right spot for you. But we have had some people come in and really enjoy what it is that we do, because we are offering our advice in real time through our live streams while sports are being played. And I think too, like just with the industry as a whole, a lot of this stuff is going to be pregame betting, whereas well over 90% of our wagers are actually live in real time and based on a whole series of things that we're seeing in real time unfolding on the rink, the field, or the court. And then with all of that, oftentimes, you know, if you do have a community that's 100% reliant upon sort of one person as this person calling picks, you're not necessarily going to get the best engagement in that community. Whereas if you are kind of all there with a common goal, which we really do have, like we are all there for one reason, and that is to beat the sports books, for like-minded individuals to come together in that capacity and to hopefully do that to a certain extent. And if you know anything about the world of sports betting, that means that what you were doing yesterday isn't necessarily what you're going to be doing tomorrow. And because of that, the community aspect really is massive. We are constantly looking for and seeking that sort of new opportunity or new edge in order to continue to succeed long term.
So I guess just to pull a thread on that a little bit here, Pace, you touched upon the fact that, you know, one of the dynamics within betting generally is the fact that most of the books are very aggressive at either, you know, restricting accounts that are beating them over the long term or closing them entirely and basically removing an out, right? You can't place a bet. Obviously, if you have an edge, that's great, but you got to be able to actually place the bet to have it turn into something profitable. And I guess I'm curious to hear from your perspective, both through your own experience, but also your community of people. Like, we hear more and more, especially in the US market right now, a lot of sports books, and if you spend any time on gambling Twitter, you really get a feel for this. You know, sports books are getting quite aggressive now at limiting accounts. A lot of this has to do with people getting closing line value on pre-match odds. And I know you guys are really positioned heavily, as you said, 90% or so of the bets are in play, which maybe obfuscates a little bit of that. But I guess what I'm ultimately curious about is like your perspective on the viability of sports betting today as an actual profitable activity and maybe a side hustle or even a full-time thing for somebody. Like the 200K you said you earned that first year through the 5 months betting college football. Like, could somebody still do that today given the dynamics that we see at play with the major operators? Or what do you sort of, I guess, assess the landscape looking like as it relates to people being able to actually eke out either a side income or a living from sports betting?
Well, I know like there was a betting community that was a paid service that existed when legalization sort of took off in the United States, and this community just blew up. Like, they absolutely blew up. And the vast majority of what they were doing was calling out broken lines, so palps that the books were offering. And it was interesting because from my lens of being a sports bettor, let's call it from 2010 onward, but definitely like a successful sports bettor from about 2015, 2016 onward, I was shocked that these US regulated sports books were paying out these lines. I genuinely was shocked. And I remember saying to our community, like, hey, if you guys can make some money right now from betting in this fashion, you know, by all means, like it's kind of like one of these mindsets of make hay while the sun is shining, right? And you're going to just naturally have sports books. Well, we've seen a whole series of things. Some of those lines that I'm referencing, they were actually most commonly found on books like FoxBet and WinBet. Sure enough, those books are completely out of business or approaching that level. When that's how you're relying on income in this space or any level of success, that has such a short window. That is such a short shelf life because, number one, the books are going to try to figure out a way to not pay those lines. Number two, if they do have to pay them from a regulatory standpoint, you're really going to be faced with those books making the quickest adjustments they possibly can to eliminate that kind of thing ever happening again. And there's been stories all throughout the media over the last like 4 or 5 years of, you know, said better was in said situation. One of the more recent ones was a golf event where there was a potential for the fourth day not to be played. And people picked up on that. And based on the rules on DraftKings, you know, you could parlay a whole bunch of things for the current positions to be the final positions. And sure enough, the day wasn't played and those wagers were not honored. So there's like big lawsuits actually associated with this because we're talking about well into the seven figures of payouts for players that would have been paid based on this particular day. But the reason why I bring this up is because, you know, this Discord community has pretty much fallen off the face of the earth at this point. Here we are, you know, 3-4 years later, and the opportunity to call out palps or broken lines that hundreds or even thousands of people can get in on at the same time is long gone. And that's not a shock or surprise to me at all. So you have a bunch of sports bettors that were doing well in a very short period of time, wagering on things like that. And at In Play Live, I can tell you firsthand, the amount of things that we were doing 3 or 4 years ago, where you were getting potentially higher ROI or edges that are available today, has changed drastically. So that does make things harder to, you know, have one of these $2,000 to $200,000 stories in a 5 month window. But with that said, there really isn't a month that goes by where I don't get a message from a member that's now reached six figures of profit. For some people, it's a 6 month window. For others, it's a 2 to 3 year window. So from a sustainability standpoint, and hey, can people still do this today? Well, I can tell you firsthand, I've been doing it for a decade and you absolutely can. In fact, I've had one of the best 5 or 6 weeks, 6 week runs of my life in these last, you know, 5, 6 weeks. So there definitely are opportunities out there. And one of the biggest reasons for that, it isn't about how you're beating the books or catching errors. It's a matter of dynamic lines. And one of the best analogies that I like to give people is, if you're going to go spin a roulette wheel and you're going to bet on red, and then a million other people say, oh, he's betting on red, I'm going to do the same thing. Red is going to pay the same amount no matter how many people wager on it. But in the world of sports, when a million people all come in on one side of a game, those lines are going to move. And when you have dynamic lines, theoretical value is always going to exist. So, you know, there's a whole series of different scenarios, and I love to use the NFL as an example, but we're never not going to be profitable in the NFL based on where public money comes in and where a certain game could unfold. And what I mean by that is the game going against the money and then live opportunities that are presented from that. Those will continue to exist long term.
As you say, you know, you're personally on a bit of a heater right now, and there is still value to be realized out there. But I guess looking forward, like, how do you see the future unfolding? And I guess just given, like, you know, the 4 or 5 years that you guys have been at this and watching sort of the evolution of the ecosystem and the landscape sort of shift around you over that time and kind of where it's come from to where it's gotten to, like, where do you see things going ultimately? And I guess, you know, again, for people that are looking to invest their time and energy into generating an income through sports betting, like, what are some of the things, I guess, top of mind that you would say are things that people should kind of keep in mind as they embark on this journey?
Well, I mean, yeah, when you talk about the sort of future and what I see of it, I wish I had that lens. I really do. We've got ROGA being proposed right now, which is the responsible organization, whatever, gaming thing that Bet365, BetMGM, and all the major sports books are putting together to help players with responsible gambling. And I look at things like that and I go, does someone who has a betting addiction, like, do they need those sports books to speak to each other in order to help them with their problem, for lack of a better term? If the answer to that is yes, then okay, I guess there's something positive there. But from my standpoint, the sports books are really, as you alluded to, really aggressively trying to clip accounts as quickly as they can and turn a profit and appease the shareholders that now many of them have. And because of that, we've definitely seen these books become more aggressive because of our lens of having you know, members in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, some in Europe, and then, of course, across Canada, Colorado, Arizona, the list goes on and on. We've got to see regulatory differences across the landscape in real time. So Bet365 not paying out in Ontario, Bet365 paying out in New Jersey for a wager that we called. So really interesting lens that we've been able to have. And because of that, we've actually been able to speak to regulators. More specifically, we've worked directly a little bit with Ontario and the AGCO. And it's been a little bit unfortunate, to be honest. Like, we saw an interview with Gary Bettman where he was asked about him knowing that DraftKings, his league sponsor, if he knew that they were limiting winners, he had no idea. Ontario was very much under the mindset that because of the competitive nature of how many operators they were bringing into their province, they believed that would create this competitive landscape in which players would not be treated in this fashion. And when we kind of educated them on what was going on offshore and in other states, and if they plan to follow suit with that, they didn't seem to understand that side of things. And now that they do, the question of how much they care is really coming into place. Now, on the other side of the discussion, there's one of the most viral clips. It was Petta Murphy. Unfortunately, she died of cancer, but she was in Australia, and she absolutely berated and bombarded the sportsbook CEOs in Australia about their practices, specifically referencing players abusing bonuses, promotions, and inducements. And that clip blew up because so many sports bettors were like, wow, it's so nice to hear someone actually finally say something in the right ring or circle. And it's just recently now that we found out that Boston, Massachusetts, is specifically looking into why sportsbooks limit winners and I guess how appropriate that is for their regulated landscape. And there was little wins along the way. So I wouldn't necessarily consider this a win, but the AGCO banned celebrity endorsements in Ontario, provided that it, unless it was about responsible gambling. So of course, BetMGM's now come out with a Connor McDavid ad where it's him talking about responsible gambling. So they just find the loophole. But for example, when Ohio legalized, you couldn't use the term free bet. And they explained why. They were really proud about it. You cannot do that here. And you've seen across the whole industry now, the terms of free bet and risk-free betting and all those types of things just been totally cut across the board. So I look at it and I go, okay, are sportsbooks trying to make as much money as they possibly can? Yes. Are regulators getting involved in some capacity now? Yes. It looks like there's some positivity coming out of Massachusetts, which could provide sustainability to players like myself. But at the same time, there was a very important message that was sent in this whole process from someone pretty prominent relating to the whole space, essentially saying, we limit winning players and the profitability of our business. It's a message to shareholders is largely based on this practice. And we don't know if we will forever be able to do that. So I, as sitting on my side, I understand that sports books being profitable is an important part of the equation for me, for InPlay Live, and for the community. And if I had the lens of where it's going to go next, I really don't. I would love to be able to tell you, but I'm very hopeful from the standpoint of some of the things that have happened and are being discussed today.
Awesome. Let's shift back to talking about your founder journey building InPlay Live. And as with any founder journey, a lot of ups, a lot of downs, everything in between along the way. I guess as you look back on the road traveled thus far, what have been, I guess, some of the biggest challenges for you building InPlay Live? And what have been some of the, I guess, the harder parts of all of this as you look back thus far?
Yeah, great question. I mean, from challenges standpoint, one of the biggest things I think, and many entrepreneurs can probably agree with this, is just, you know, entrepreneurship itself is a revolving door of challenges. You never know what's going to be next or where it's going to hit you. And for me personally, just being an individual, profitable and successful sports bettor, and then obviously needing to pass that on to our community, it put a lot of pressure on me in a lot of different ways and put me into some sports that maybe I wasn't necessarily the best at. So I think sustainability and seasonality is the biggest challenge that we probably face. Sometimes you have to accept that from the standpoint of, you know, if you're Whistler Blackcomb and, you know, there's no snow on the mountain, you can't expect people to snowboard or ski, right? So kind of accepting the seasonality of things, especially given that in the COVID season, we had a lot of these major sports in the summer. So kind of getting used to that, accepting it and dealing with it. Everything we just touched on is the biggest single threat to the sustainability and success of our company. If we can't continue to win from making money off sports, it's great that we've made lifelong friendships and we'll all high five somewhere someday again, but we won't be in business if we can't make money. So that's definitely an ongoing challenge, is continuing to stay ahead and to continue to do well for myself and for our community. But I mean, there's other things in the industry, right? Like advertising in the gambling space is a huge challenge. So that's been something that we've had to constantly sort of work on to overcome. And, you know, you have to do some different things and work on some things that might be a little bit more challenging than, say, an e-learning course about cooking, right?
Totally. And one challenge you and I have spoken about off outside of the recording, and I don't know if you're up for chatting about it here for a couple of minutes, but one challenge you've noted to me from the business side is, you know, some challenges, I guess, getting paid as an affiliate to some of the books. And I bring that up only because I think a lot of my audience here for this podcast are other entrepreneurs in this space that also have affiliate relationships with the books. And I hear a lot of anecdotes of varying degrees, and you were quite passionate in the stories you've shared with me. So I'm just, wondering if you can, you know, sort of shed a little bit of light on that side of the, you know, building the business and the challenges therein, to the extent you're sort of willing to share a bit about that.
Yeah, I think that actually touches back to the advertising discussion, right? So like these sports books are looking for people to promote their books, right? And like there's a pretty famous guy that's new in the scene of gambling right now, betting 10 cents for every blackjack follower or Instagram follower that he has on blackjack. And he's absolutely exploded. And because of that, the sports books are just chomping at the bit to get him to be the guy that plays on their site. And he's probably going to be in a really strong position to, I don't know, pick a series of books or pick a sports book and get paid a tremendous amount of money to wager on one of their sites, right? So like, yeah, from day one, when we started this thing, we were approached by just so many different sports books. I was actually a little overwhelming. And this was actually a huge blunder on my part from the standpoint of, you know, being a professional profitable sports better and then teaching people to do the same thing. And then being like, okay, well, let's sign up for the affiliate program at stake.com. Well, that one's actually a bit of an outlier, but these affiliate programs are based off of player loss, right? And it was actually this mistake that I'm referencing was actually signing up and testing it from the standpoint of thinking that that could be an actual revenue stream from InPlay Live. It's like, that's not at all in line with everything that we've just talked about. And I think it was like 3 or 4 days with some of these books where we had like negative $100,000 revenue share with them. So we quickly learned that that wasn't the way forward with us. But what's interesting is books like Stake, who said, we don't do revenue loss. We do a percentage of all wagers made. And we're like, holy smokes, we're going to promote this book. We're going to figure out ways to create reward systems for our players through this book. We can tip players and send them money. And wow, this is amazing. Like, this is it kind of thing. Again, I think it was just a couple of weeks in where they're like, hey, we want to switch you to a revenue loss, customer loss model because we had made so much money off of their site. So yeah, from an affiliate standpoint, really our angle, not really our edge. There are a couple books that we work with because we actually genuinely believe in those sports books now. And I will gladly promote a sports book that falls in line with some of these values, you know, not limiting winning players or at least giving them a reasonable leash and that are reputable, that pay their players. And as a sports betting group and the sports betting group that we are, yeah, there's certainly a whole series of different avenues players go down to continue to get money, to continue to play. And that can be anything from a cash bookie to an offshore crypto book. The list goes on and on. And I think, Jesse, you've got a little bit of experience being around Curaçao, but like Curaçao is a really good example of where, you know, they have all these sports books and there's not one or two of them. There's hundreds. There might even be thousands. And if you were to just take a list and just start knocking them out and playing there, you are just going to go through this revolving door of almost an arena that's impossible to get paid in. So yeah, we've had to work with lawyers to get our money. We've had to work with different like betting groups like Ask Gamblers or Ecogra, different regulators in Curaçao that don't respond to you. So you wonder like how much they're sort of in bed with these books. Like genuinely, they have a system to get paid and they regulate the book that you're trying to get paid on and they never, never respond to you. I'm not talking it's 6 months later. You will never get a response. Follow up, and you'll never get a response. And it's like, what on earth is going on here? So, I mean, that's just a whole other discussion, I think, entirely, because, you know, you have some reputable offshores like Pinnacle, like Bookmaker. And then, of course, you have the major players that you are going to get paid from. But, you know, once you've burnt your account, you know, where do you go? And this is an option for a lot of players. And yeah, it's tough to get paid.
Curaçao was a great time and a great place for me to live and to work and to continue to visit. But yeah, I do know that there obviously are challenges when dealing with jurisdictions like that, both from a player perspective, sounds like from a potentially an affiliate perspective as well. And, you know, here's hoping that some of the new regulatory frameworks are talking about implementing in some of these jurisdictions go some distance to, you know, giving the level of transparency and I guess recourse ultimately, which is what you're looking for in some of these instances. You know, there's a path towards that because at the end of the day, I mean, you know, there are viable options through these jurisdictions for players to be betting. And at the end of the day, we all want to know we're going to get paid and can do all of the activities reliably and confidently knowing that there is proper regulatory oversight above all of it. So we'll leave that there for now, Pace. Getting to the closing line here. Let's say you have a crystal ball in front of you. You're looking into it. You know, you're looking 5 years into the future. I guess in your wildest dreams, what's InPlay Live look like at that time? Where are you guys at? What are you doing? And I guess, what does your community look like 5 years down the line here?
Yeah, that's a great question. We actually redid our masterclass last summer, so summer of 2023. And I hadn't even personally watched my original masterclass since I made it, which was before we launched. And we cut out so much stuff, changed so many different things, and you could argue it's completely all different now. But the thing is the underlying message was the same from day one that it was when we redid it. It was actually really like a really reassuring and powerful experience for me, because the message was, we are giving you the tools to make more informed and responsible decisions. And the message today was, we are here to give you the tools to make more informed and responsible decisions and to help you win over the long term. So, you know, we're big Simon Sinek guys at InPlay Live. So we play the infinite game, and the infinite game is one that the players change, but the goal remains the same. And that means that 100 years from now, there might be a sports bettor that references, hey, like, you know, this is InPlay Live and these are the guys that taught people how to beat the sports books. And my dad or my grandpa or whatever the case may be, he made $1 million betting. It actually was a lot of money back then betting with InPlay Live. So from the standpoint of like where things, you know, what they look like in 5 years, if we're playing the infinite game, it's survival. And that might sound a little bit, I don't know, a lot of businesses are focused on a lot of different numbers and metrics and things like that. We certainly look at that type of thing, but I say survival because we want to keep playing the game and we want to keep playing it long term. So we want to just continue to make an impact on the industry. We want to work with regulators. We want to work with the right sports books, and we want to continue to provide education and ways for people to, whether it's a side hustle, you know, making a couple extra $100 a month, or for, you know, the rare person that's really built for this, putting in all that time, energy, and effort that actually makes a living from it. We want to be the people that are helping people get there.
Awesome. There's a lot more I want to talk about and we probably could talk about, but maybe we'll have to save that one for a part two, Pace. For now, we'll cut it there. But for people listening that want to check out InPlay Live, maybe get a window into your community and or get in touch with yourself, can you quickly plug all of the touch points where they can do all that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's at InPlay Live on socials. We're most prominent on Instagram. We do have a podcast ourselves. We had a really great guest on a couple of weeks. Jesse, I think you know him pretty well. That podcast is called Behind the Lines. But yeah, we kind of dive into winning ways and the way the books treat us and different things like that that can be really valuable. You can always head over to InPlayLive.com. We have a whole bunch of free tools that bettors can use. I believe one of the most powerful tools available to a sports bettor is to simply write down and track what it is that they've wagered on. So we have our tracking system for free available over there in our free tools section. You can also see how we're performing there. So we do track all of our live streams and what we've wagered on. So you can kind of see like a summary of our success each month there as well. But yeah, if you're looking to get involved, check us out on Instagram at InPlayLive and definitely head over to our site, InPlayLive.com. I'm an open book, so you can always shoot us a DM on Instagram or get in touch with us through our website, and you're going to get a pretty quick response.
Right on. Well, this episode's been, you know, a little bit different than most that I do, and it's been a ton of fun getting a much different perspective than we normally explore within this platform. So thanks for bringing everything you did to it today, Pace. Really appreciate it. And go Canucks, go.
Right on. Thanks, Jesse.
Betting Startups podcast is presented by Optimove, the number one CRM marketing solution for the iGaming market. 4 out of the top 5 U.S. operators personalize player experiences with Optimove. Learn more about Optimove by requesting a demo at optimove.com/bettingstartups. And if you like what you see, you'll get your first month free.